greatest, and even the singing, that's some of the greatest singing that I've heard in a long time. Some time ago, someone suggested to me that although there are other things said in the Bible for the work of deacons, that the main work of the deacons is to watch the preachers. Brad, you and I don't have a chance. I was just sitting there thinking a few minutes ago as I watched all of the men up here, do you realize that the number of men standing before us as our elders and deacons is a larger number than some congregations, and a larger number than many congregations as far as men who are ready to participate in the work? It's really impressive to me tonight to think about the talent that we have. I want to do two things tonight as we think about God's Word relative to the timing of the installation of these new elders and deacons. I first want to address the congregation as a whole, and then those who serve in specific ways. All of us need to understand that as important and as outstanding as these men that we've seen before us tonight are, that there's not a one of them who is a superman. There's not a one of them who is an angel. Each one of them is a man. God said, seek out men to serve his elders, and seek out men, seven particularly in Acts 6, to serve in that particular way. I say that because we need to understand that even elders and deacons and, yes, preachers will make mistakes. We're men. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that those of us who preach and teach are earthen vessels. We're not divine. We're men. In fact, I have searched the Bible through, and I don't think there is a commandment as far as living and doing right and having enthusiasm that applies only to elders and deacons and preachers. Men are to be advanced in these areas in order to be qualified to be elders, and there are some specific qualifications family-wise, but as far as the qualifications of a Christian life, there is not a commandment in the Bible that applies to the men that you've seen before you tonight that doesn't apply to you. And I think as proud of, and I don't hesitate to use the word proud, and as thankful for these fellows that work and lead us and serve us as we are, we must remember that they are men. They're not supermen. We are told to appreciate and esteem them, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. To remember them, particularly to remember the elders in Hebrews 13:7. And I suggest that that at least includes remember them with respect and remember them in our prayers. We're told to obey the elders in Hebrews 13:17. And I say to you tonight without stuttering that unless there is a problem between what the elders decide in this congregation and the scripture itself, I will submit myself as a member of this congregation to their leadership. I believe we owe them that. We're told not only to be careful about accusing, but not even to receive an accusation against those that lead as elders. If you have a problem with one of the elders, go to him. If you want to talk to me about it, if you want to talk about how we can go to him and talk to him, fine, but don't come to talk to me behind his back. Nor one of the deacons. We as a congregation owe these men our support. To uphold them in their work, to help them when there are problems, even when there are personal problems, and even those of us that preach can hurt. We hurt just as much when there's illness and death and our friends have gone to the Middle East as the rest of you. And so as a congregation, we need to understand that elders and deacons and preachers are men, dedicated men, but men. Now, having said that and having emphasized that there is not a commandment in the Bible that doesn't apply to all of us, I believe there is a special emphasis placed to those who lead, and those of us who preach, and those who serve in a special way. There's a statement made in Luke 12:48 that I share with you. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. We have committed more to our elders than to Christians in general. We've even committed to them the oversight of our souls, as they that watched and give an account, Hebrews 13:17. We've committed much to the deacons, and you will be informed in the next few weeks about where each deacon will be involved in the work, and you'll see these men working. I think one resolve that the elders and I share is that we want every deacon working, not just a deacon in name. And so these men are going to have added responsibilities, and because of that, there's going to be more required. 1 Peter 5 requires the elders to be examples. Now, all of us are to be examples in a sense. Matthew 5, let your light shine. But in a special way, more has been committed to the elders, so they have an additional reason for being an example. Deacons are to be proven. They're going to be proven. That means there's something they need to do to accept their responsibilities. Those who were to be appointed as elders and deacons had as one of the qualifications of good report. That means that those who serve as elders and deacons, even in being selected, and certainly after being selected, must be concerned about their character and about their influence. You that are serving as elders and deacons, along with those of us who serve as ministers, have an additional reason to watch your language, to watch your appearance, to watch your attitude. Because, you see, this community will be watching you in a little bit more, a way of more involvement and more concern than they ever have before. When our bulletin goes out to this community and across the nation and the world, your name will be listed there. And there will be a sense in which you and your actions will represent the work of the Lord at this place. Let me back up and change that pronoun your to our. I feel the same responsibility. We need to be concerned about our habits. We need to be concerned about our actions. In other words, we need to be just a bit more careful. All of us need to be careful. But because more has been entrusted to us, we need to be just a little bit more careful relative to our words and our actions, our working together, our encouraging each other. Because to whom much is given, of him more is required. And not only must the elders and deacons be examples, but there is another way in which their families are a little bit more involved than ever before. It's impossible to be an elder or a deacon in the Lord's church without a good wife. And it's improbable that a preacher would do very much without a good wife. All of us ought to uphold the hands of our fathers and our mothers. But now, in a very special way, those of you in the families of these men that serve as elders and deacons will find that you may have to sacrifice a bit more. You wives of elders know that many times you're at home by yourself when your husband is up here at the building or out with another elder or preacher visiting, trying to help solve a problem, trying to help care, trying to help lift somebody up. And you boys and girls of the elders and deacons, and this is mainly to those children of the deacons tonight, because the children of most of the elders have grown up. But you boys and girls, you young men and young ladies whose fathers now will serve as elders and deacons, you remember how much they need your support and your prayers. And there will be some times when you wish Daddy was at home, that you'll realize that he's out helping somebody else, because he's a little bit more involved now in the work of the Lord than he's ever been before. And so, at the same time that we as a congregation need to understand that elders and deacons and preachers are not supermen, and they're not angels, we also need to understand, and I think perhaps expect them to understand, that they are to be examples, and that to whom much is given, more is required. I suggest to you tonight that if we can understand these two things, will help our work to grow in the way that it ought to. And above all, remember where God sits in all of this and where Christ sits. Because, you see, everything that we've done tonight and referred to tonight has to do with one goal, and that's getting all of us to heaven and taking as many with us as we can. Every program that's involved in this church that will be involved these deacons is not worth anything if it's just a program in and of itself. But if it's a part of the Lord's work, where we can all work together to get us to heaven, then it is important and it's valuable. That's the end result of it all. I challenge all of us to think about these words and to do all that we can to follow our elders, to encourage our deacons, to give them our talents, our time, our effort, our possessions. In other words, just give ourselves. And we can continue the progress that we are seeing, and we can grow to the glory of God and to the salvation of our souls. Having said all that, let me especially remind you again that all of this is for the sake of helping you get to heaven. If you're not a Christian tonight, what you've witnessed tonight isn't worth much to you unless it can encourage you in that direction. Or if you are a wayward child of God, and you're in a lost condition, all that we could say about elders and deacons and preachers not worth much unless it helps you to come to Christ. If you need to be baptized into Christ or restored tonight, come as together we stand and sing.